Hallelujah for the triune God. Here to be filled with the triune God. Okay. We're coming to lesson 8. My name is Eric Romero. I'm from Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's a Cambridge in Massachusetts, not in the UK, right next to Boston. And it is good to be with you all. I was here last year, and that was my first time, but this is my second time. But this time I'm a dad, so it's a little different. So I have a little 3-month-old baby, and now I'm looking out at all the sisters, and I can just see my own little daughter. Her name's Shiloh. One day sitting right there, and maybe some of you brothers will be up here. I don't know. But yeah, it's awesome. It's good to be here as a dad. It's really good to be here as a dad. Wow. Well, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Okay, so we're coming to the key topics of the Bible. How many of you all have read the whole Bible? How many? This is not to condemn you. I'm just curious. Okay, we have a couple. There's a couple. The Bible's a long book. It's really long. And maybe you're starting to read the Bible. You know, today you've decided I'm going to start reading the Bible. Well, there's a lot of different topics in the Bible. So we want to just cover, maybe you haven't read the whole Bible. It's okay. But we're just going to cover some key topics kind of along the line. And I get the privilege of touching the first topic. What would you say if someone were to ask you, what does the Bible talk about? What does the Bible speak about? Don't look at your outline. What would you say?
God.
Is that really what you would say? Well, maybe it is. Awesome. Awesome. Is there anything else? The church. Okay. What else?
Spirit.
The spirit. Okay.
Life.
Wow. Okay. You got it. Brother Chris would be happy. I don't know where he is, but what was it? It was Christ,
spirit.
And life and the church. Wow. Okay. Wow. Amen. What else? What else would you say? Your friend asked, you're in math class. You're right there. And then someone says, what does the Bible talk about? What would you say? Any sisters? Sophia, what would you say? She's busy writing. Yeah, repeat the question. What would, if someone were to ask you what the Bible talks about, what would you say? Talks about Christ. Amen. These are awesome responses. And you're right. Does the Bible talk about Christ? Absolutely. The Bible talks about all these different matters. Let's just read Roman numeral 1 all together, okay? Oh, okay, let's stop there. Let's say that part all over again. 1, 2, 3.
God.
Again, 1, 2, 3.
God.
Okay, God is the foremost item. Wow, we should know him first. Okay, so there's a verse reference there, right? Now, does anybody know this reference? Genesis 1:1. How does it start?
In the
beginning. It's two ends, right? I hope so. Get a little nervous. My spelling goes out the window. Okay. Actually, let's replace this. In the beginning, who? God, in the beginning, God. So, God is the foremost item. He's the most important. He's numero uno. Okay, this is, the entire Bible speaks about God. You know how many verses there are in the Bible? I wrote this down, really interesting. 31,102 verses. You know how many words there are in the Bible? 783,137. And there's 66 books, 1,189 chapters. And you know what? Every verse, every chapter, every book, you know what the focus is?
God.
Why? Because in the beginning, God. Right there from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God is the beginning. He's the first. And he's the first of every portion in the Word. And we may not have that realization when we come to the Bible that we're coming to God. But that's okay. Maybe we can have our concepts adjusted a little bit as this morning. But it's like, just like, yeah, maybe not. Okay, I won't share that example. That's okay. But what kind of God is revealed in the Bible? What kind of, so we know, okay, God is the foremost item. He's number one. But what kind of God is revealed? Y'all know? I heard someone say that.
Triune God.
A little louder, Larry.
The triune God.
Okay. So he is revealed as a triune God. So maybe you looked at the title of this lesson and you said, triune God, not again. We had a whole summer school on that. I know everything about the triune God. Maybe you do, I don't know. But we might have certain concepts when we hear triune God. We think, okay, doctrine, or I can't understand it, or we'll start with this. Okay, I hope today our concept would be changed. When we hear triune God, I hope we would think of one word, okay? And this word is love. Okay, I hope we would realize that God is triune because he loves you. And my main burden today is really to spend time on why is God triune. Because God, even the triune God, he is the creator of heaven and earth. He created the entire universe. We don't even know how large the universe is, but he created everything. He created earth. He created you and me. But he still has something. There's something on his heart. He's longing. That didn't just satisfy him, creation. Even his creation of man, he had a desire. He wanted to reach you. He wanted to reach even you. This was on his heart. He didn't want to remain alone in the whole universe just by himself. He wanted to come to us and to reach us because he loves us. So everything we're going to speak about this morning, the Lord had to take, God took some steps to reach you. But the reason he took those steps is because he loves you. Why don't we say it all together? Love.
Love.
Love. The triune God loves you.
Amen.
Okay, so we're not here to try to understand, merely just try to understand with our mind, you know, get into, you know, all these different aspects. It's kind of, to do that, it's kind of just to merely try to understand is like taking a spoon. You know, I was at the beach in Boston last week, and, you know, it's big ocean, and it's like to take a spoon and to try to measure the ocean. Have you ever tried that? You know, just try to measure. No, because it makes no sense. You wouldn't get very far. Even if you got far, you still wouldn't be very far because the ocean, it's you can't do that. Well, God, he created us. We can't fully understand him, but we can enjoy him. We can enjoy him. And that's what we're going to speak about this morning. But to paint a little picture, a little background, just this aspect of triune. Okay, what does this mean? What is tri? What does that refer to?
Three.
What is un? One. In Spanish, it's triuno, okay? He's the three-one God. This is what's revealed in the Bible. He's one,
yes.
Yet he's also three, okay? There's this different aspects. Now, in his oneness, a good verse is 1 Corinthians 8:4, okay? And this verse says, there is no God but
one.
There is no God but one. And 1 Timothy 6 speaks about God. He dwells in unapproachable light. Y'all know what that means? That means we can't approach him. If we were to come into, he's in glory, and if we were to come into his presence, we would be zapped. We would just die. Actually, Exodus 33 speaks about this. No man can see God and live. Even Moses told God, he said, please. It's in the Bible. It's verse Exodus 33:18. He asked the Lord politely. He says, please show me your face. But God said, you can only see my back. You can only see my back. Even though Moses was speaking with the Lord face to face, that just indicated the closeness of their relationship. But he couldn't see him physically face to face. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to live. So this is God. He is an unapproachable light. But he loves you.
Amen.
So what... How can he reach you if he's unapproachable? Well, it's a good thing he is triune, okay? So there's an aspect of three, and a good verse for this is Matthew 28:19. Does anybody know this verse? Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit. So there's one name, but three persons, or you could say three aspects. And through being triune, through being three yet one, this is how God can reach us in his love. Okay, and I have an illustration. Wow, time is just flying by. But I have an illustration that hopefully can, we'll see if this is helpful to you. Okay. It involves a watermelon. How many of y'all like watermelon? I love watermelon. Okay. And a knife. Okay. And a watermelon. Okay. Okay. So at some point, I'll need Shepherd to help me. We'll have to see how this goes. Okay. So I have a Sharpie here. So God is one and he's three, right? Right? So why don't on one side, why don't we write 1 Corinthians 8:4? Okay? Oop, 1 Corinthians 8:4. Okay. So there's this aspect of oneness, right? And there is no God but one. But at the same time, can write another verse on the other side. He's also three. Oh, maybe y'all can't see. Where's Ben? Ben, come up here real quick. Ben, come on. This is really heavy, so. It's a big watermelon. Okay. Here, you can hold it. Okay, show everybody. So this is God, okay? He is one, yet. Okay, repeat after me. He is
one,
yet.
Three.
At the same time? Are you sure?
Yes.
Yeah? Why? Why are you sure? Because the Bible says so. That's right. What are we on this week? We're on the
Bible.
Okay, so God is
one,
yet.
Three.
Okay, thanks, Ben. No, you're not going anywhere. Just keep holding that, okay? I'll call you back up in a little bit. Okay, so God wants to reach us, okay? And he's triune to reach us. So this example, we have the whole melon here, okay? This is the Father, okay? Now God dwells in unapproachable light. We can't, in a sense, come into the presence of the watermelon. You know, we get crushed. But he wants to come to reach us. So he took some steps, okay? God took some steps. So we're going to take some steps. Okay, here we go. Oh, this is a really big watermelon. Okay. Good thing I brought a sharp knife. Okay, we'll put this guy down here. Okay, so here we go. We have a step. Is that still? Can you eat this? You know, oh, I forgot to. Well, you know, when you're looking at the whole thing, how do you eat? You can't eat that, you know? You can look at it and try to understand it and, oh, how much does it weigh? Where is it from? But even this is still not too reachable. We should cut it a little bit more. Okay, we'll cut it a little bit more. All right. God had to take a. All right, we're going to do this. Okay, here we go. Okay. So we're getting a little smaller. That's a big slice. Okay. Still too big. Let's just go down to this. There we go. Okay. This is a little bit more approachable. Huh? Let me grab a napkin. Y'all with me? You're like, what's going to happen to the watermelon? Okay. Here we go. Here's Christ. Wow. Delicious, you know, juicy. So the Father is the melon, but this is Christ. So he had to take some steps, you know. He became a man. I don't know if you considered, that's a real restriction. The God of the universe became a man. Wow, he was restricted. He was born. He was in the womb for 9 months. He lived a human life, and you could walk. You could interact with him. You could talk with him. But still, can you eat this whole thing?
Yes.
No, you can't. This can't fit in my mouth. You have to take a bite of it, right? Yeah. But the Lord was there. He even in John 14, it says, I'm with you. But his desire was to be in you. In you. That was his longing. That was burning within him. That was, why? Why? Because of?
Love.
Because he loves us. He became a man because he loves you. Amen. He walked on the earth for 33 and a half years because he loves you. He was restricted because he loves you. This is the triune God that we have. Well, he had to take another step. What did he do? He went to the cross, right? Now, why did he go to the cross? Because he loves me. Hey, why don't we say it? Why did the Lord go to the cross?
Because he loves me.
Me, even me. It's kind of unfathomable. I don't know about you. I just realized, wow, the Lord would do all this just for me. This was on his heart. The triune God loves me. And because of that, he went to the cross. And two things happened on the cross, okay? He shed his blood for our sin. What else happened? Something else happened. He became the life-giving spirit, okay? So here we go. I have a fork. Okay, so this is a little bit more. Actually, in the example, what's best is juice, but I don't want to make a big mess. But the spirit is the juice, okay? So the Father is the whole melon, the Son is the slice, and the Spirit is the?
Juice.
The juice. And now why is he the Spirit? Because he loves you. That's right. Because this is how the Lord could reach you. There's an awesome verse in Isaiah that says, what more could I have done for my vineyard than I had not done for it already? This was on the Lord's heart. What more could he have done for us than to become the Spirit that is available as juice? For us too? That's a good watermelon. That's really refreshing. Better cut another piece. Okay. So that's the goal right there, right? What just happened? I just ate. I just took a bite. That is the reason that God is triune, is for to reach you. Okay, why don't you look at the outline? Point seven. Why don't you just take a look at point seven? Wow. He is triune for our enjoyment. He's enjoyable. And now there's this really awesome word that is really helpful. It's called dispensing. Okay, here we go. Sorry, y'all, if you're in the back. You can't see me. I just drew a line with an arrow to you. But right here is the word dispensing. Okay. So the triune God went through all these steps to now become the Spirit for a purpose. He wants to dispense himself to you. And that means he wants to reach you in all his riches. Is this a watermelon?
Yes.
It is, right? Is this a watermelon?
Yes.
Is the whole melon a watermelon?
Yes.
So is the Father the Son?
Yes.
Yeah. Is the Son the Spirit?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. I know. Three yet one. This is the triune God. You may not be able to comprehend it, but we can enjoy it, okay? And this is the reason that God is triune, is that we could enjoy him. And he wants to dispense himself. He wants to give himself to you. And, you know, I was just thinking about what's an illustration of this. You know, on the way here, I went to McDonald's, and McDonald's has, you know, those soda fountains. And, you know, you get something, and you just look, okay, what do I want? And then you just, and then what happens? Dispensing, okay? Dispensing, fool, you know, and then you take it, then you drink the whole thing, dispensing, okay, that's an illustration of dispensing. So I got water, so it wasn't as exciting, you know, as if you get Coke, but this is what God wants to do. He wants to dispense himself into you.
Amen.
Why don't we say it all together? Dispensing. So maybe in your experience, and like using that illustration, just in the meetings, You may experience some of this. You know, you come to the meeting and it's a little shh, but then the rest of the day, you know, you just kind of walk around. You know, do you do everything else and you kind of miss out? But actually, he is ready at any point. He wants to do this at every moment. That we wouldn't just in the meetings just go shh, get filled up a little bit, and then like you're here at Summer School of Truth. You know, it's a whole 10 days. There's a lot of shh, and then the whole year there's nothing. You know. He wants when you wake up, you brush your teeth, shh. Then you go downstairs, you have a conversation with your mom, shh. Then you hop on the bus, shh. This is what God wants to do. He wants to dispense himself into you because he loves you.
Amen.
He wants to be your enjoyment.
Amen.
And this is really enjoyable. We can enjoy him. We'll touch on some practical things. But one more thing. Here, Ben, you can come back up here. One more verse that I just feel like is really helpful on this point is 2 Corinthians 13:14, okay? And I'm just going to cut up a little bit more. I'm just kind of hitting the same point home just so you can really appreciate that this is, that the reason God is triune is to give himself to you, okay? So that verse mentions the grace of the, who knows that verse? Someone say that verse. It's the grace of the Lord, okay, and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Okay, now we have two forks. So we have, we'll start with the love of God. I don't have the whole melon here, but we'll start with this guy. Okay, so the love of God.
Amen.
Got it? And the grace of Christ.
Amen.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Be with you all.
Amen.
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 Should we do it again? Yeah, okay. Ready? All right. The love of God. The grace of Christ. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You gotta say it with him. Be with you all. Be with you all. So God is ready. He's gone through all these steps so he could be with you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you.
You.
Your other neighbor and say, be with you.
You.
You all.
You all.
God has gone through this process to be with you all. Okay. Isn't that awesome? I hope you appreciate it. God is triune because he loves you, and he went through these steps so that he could reach you and be with you.
Amen.
Really quite wonderful. Okay, now I just have a couple minutes left. I don't need this anymore. That's okay. Here you go, Shepherd. Whatever you feel to do with that. You can eat some or... Okay. Now, I just want to share some practical helps. How do we enjoy? How do we enjoy? You know, God is enjoyable. He's really enjoyable. I can testify to that. But how do we remain under this dispensing, under this enjoyment? Well, just two things that I feel like have really helped me are singing. I love to sing. Singing is an awesome way. I don't know about you all. I just have really enjoyed the singing here. It's an awesome way to just get filled with the Lord. So I'm just going to recommend two hymns to you, okay, from the hymnal. And these are actually regarding the triune God. You can get filled with God in any way. Well, and it doesn't just have to be the topic on the triune. You know, God is, he's the content of everything. So you're singing a hymn about the church, God is dispensing himself into you.
Amen.
You're singing a hymn about companions, God is dispensing himself into you. But these are just really helpful, two helpful hymns, 608 on the triune God. And I'm just going to, if you have it, okay, I got 3 minutes. Okay, let's just sing it really quick. Not the whole thing. We'll just sing stanza 5. Okay, y'all have it? Oh, we don't need the piano. I think we'll be okay. We'll sing it a cappella. Okay, just give me the starting note. Ready? How real it is that God is now the Spirit for us to touch, experience day by day. Astounding fact, with God we are one. Okay, wait, stop right there. I don't know. Astounding fact. Are you astounded? Maybe a little bit. With God, with the triune God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of you and me, the infinite, eternal God, you are what?
One
spirit. Because he's giving himself to you. So as you're on the bus, I don't know if you had that realization, I am one spirit with the triune God. Wow. Chorus.
The God has now become our all. How wonderful, how glorious. This gift divine we never can exhaust. How excellent, how marvelous.
Okay, and then 602, just the last two. You can just write this down. You don't have to look at it right now. These are awesome. That how mysterious, yet how real. God himself now flows in me. That's really incredible. Okay, I just, maybe just one brief story. You know, I just, wherever we are, as we sing, maybe as even as you call on the Lord, what's happening is the triune God is dispensing himself into you. No matter if you feel it's going on or no matter not. When the Lord died for us, his blood was shed. So let's say you're at home and your mom's going to cut watermelon. Probably the first thing she's going to ask you to do is what? Wash your hands. So when as we repent, as we confess, we wash our hands. And that is the, you know, after we wash our hands, we don't just stare at the fruit and just be like, man, that looks like really tasty. Let's just think about it. Let's just talk about it. No, just eat it. Amen. Just eat it. When your hands are washed, just eat it. So as we, even with the Lord, as we learn just to get washed with his precious blood, maybe you sing, maybe you call, maybe you read a little bit of the Bible, God is dispensing himself into you. Amen. And my time is up, but just a quick 30-second story. You know, I'm a nurse, so I was working, I'm an ICU nurse, and I was working night shift, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? 3, 4, that was like the hardest time, but the floor I worked on was pretty intense. But there was this song that was just bubbling up in me. And it's I don't know if you know, it's called Eat the Hidden Manna. Eat the Hidden Manna. Anybody know that song? No? That's okay. I enjoyed it, though. So it's 3 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning. It's just a stressful situation. And this song was dispensing to me. I just, multiple times, I would just walk around on the court. It was a huge hospital floor. And I just remember, It was not the easiest situation with patients who were sick, but I was just beside myself. Eat the hidden manna. It goes like this. Eat the hidden manna. Get God into you. Because when God gets into you, you get into God. Whoa. Okay, I'm going to sing it for one more time. Eat the hidden manna. Get God into you. Because when God gets into you, you get into God. I just to sing to the Lord. There's a lot more examples and testimonies, but I don't know how the Lord may enjoy his dispensing through many different ways, but I just hope you would appreciate, wow, God is triune, not just for me to understand, but just for me to enjoy his dispensing.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so why don't we, as we transition, why don't we sing 602, stanzas 6 and 7. And yeah, with the piano, you can help us out.
Yeah. To begin with a question, how many of you know what is a deoxyribonucleic acid? Okay. How many of you know what is a DNA? Okay, you should all heard about it, right? If you're interested in getting into biological science or you want to study biology or be a doctor, this is something you have to study. It's a carrier of genetic information and it's present in all living organisms. But you don't see it and you don't think about it too much, but it's essential to every living organism. And You know, I was touched that the triune God is really the DNA of the entire Bible. You know, it's not so obvious. A lot of people, you know, I have two Hindu co-workers, and I've talked to them about their faith, and many times I've shared with them my faith in the Bible, and I tell them that God is one, right? To them, their God, they have a lot of God. One of the chief one is a prince who was in the battle, and he felt sorry for all the sufferings of humanity, so he decided to have peace. So that was one of the chief God that they believe, the Hindus. I also have another coworker who's Jewish. He's a young man, and he studied the Torah, and he believes in God. He believes that there is one God who is a creator, and so do we. But we believe, according to the Bible, that our God is one, right? There's no God but one. But the Bible also reveals to us that our God is the triune God. You can't figure out why he's one and three. Mathematically, doesn't make sense, right? But there is the revelation of the triune God in the whole scriptures that tells us that God wants to get into man. He wants to dispense himself into man. So I really appreciate this point. I just want to add to Eric's sharing a little bit about three examples in the Bible that shows us the triune God. You know, it's this, the fact that this is a key topic of the Bible. It's not so obvious, but when you get into it, there's, you know, everywhere you turn, you see the triune God in the Bible. Our first example is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. You know, God created man, and there was a river. And Genesis 2:10 says, "And the gold of that land is good. Dalium and onyx stones are there." This is in Genesis 2:12. So there you find there's these three materials: gold, dalium, and onyx stone. Dalium is a kind of pearl-like substance from trees. And when you go to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 21, verse 18, 19, and 21, you read, "And the building work of its wall was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city was adorned with every precious stone, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was respectively of one pearl." So in the beginning of the Bible, you see the three. Why, you know, why not one or two, but three? This reminds you of the triune God. You see the gold, dalium, and onyx stone, a kind of a precious stone. But at the end of the Bible, you see a city built up together with these three materials. The whole city is gold, and its gates are made of pearl, and its foundation are made of precious stones. You see the connection, right? The three substance or elements in the beginning of the Bible, they're all built up into this city, the New Jerusalem, which is the ultimate goal of God's plan and God's desire. And the other example that I enjoy is Exodus chapter 3:15. This was when Moses saw God saw the fire in the burning bush, and God appeared to him and went to send him to rescue his chosen people, the Israelites. And Moses said, "What is your name? Or who sent me? Who do I say that you are?" And Jehovah said, and God said, this is Exodus 3:14-15. God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." He is the self-existing and ever-existing one. Verse 15, "And God also said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial from generation to generation. So in referring to himself, Jehovah said, I am that I am. But he also called himself the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. Three generations of people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So actually, the entire book of Genesis concerning the history of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob show us how we can experience the triune God. Again, you don't see, actually this word triune is not found in the Bible. But the fact and the revelation is all over the place. Therefore, the church father invented this word, triune, to show us that we have a God who not only is the creator, he's the one God, but he is three. He is the Father, Son, and Spirit, in order to dispense himself into us because he loves us. And the last example that I enjoy is from Luke chapter 15. This is a famous parable that Jesus spoke concerning a shepherd seeking a lost sheep, right? And a woman seeking a lost coin. And the father who received back the prodigal son. Now, why three parables? This, again, refers to the triune God working together to bring back the lost sinners. He is the seeking shepherd. He came to look for you, to look for the lost one. And he is also the Spirit working within you with the lamp lit. The lamp is a picture of the Word. When you read the Bible, right, we've heard many testimonies of people reading the Bible and being enlightened, and eventually they decided, I need to go back to God. I need God. So they return to the Father. So the scriptures, the Bible, is written with the triune God as the very fabric in it. So I hope that when we read the Bible, we can look for and we can seek out the revelation of the triune God. Okay, so let me go on to the next key topic, and that is the Christ. Christ is the subject and center of the Bible. Jesus Christ is the first name that's mentioned in the New Testament, right? And he's also the last name mentioned at the end of the New Testament. So the New Testament begins with Jesus Christ and ends with Jesus Christ. So he is the beginning, he's the end, he is everything in between. He is the subject. In Matthew 1:21, it says that she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Oh, let's say that name together. Jesus! For it is he who will save his people from their sins. So the name Jesus means Jehovah, our salvation, or Jehovah the Savior. And in verse 23, he says, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. So Jesus was the name given by God. Emmanuel was the name that they call him, God with us. So our Lord has two names, two titles. He is Jesus, and he is Emmanuel. And what about Christ? What is Jesus Christ? Christ is the word, the Greek word for the anointed one. No, the anointed one refers to his office, refers to what he will do. In Matthew 16:16, the Lord Jesus said, Who do men say that I am? And they said, Well, you're the prophet, you're a teacher. But then Peter said, let me read this. And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Christ refers to his title, or refers to who he is and what he is doing. He is be God's anointed one to carry out God's purpose. And he's also the Son of God with God's life and energy to dispense himself into us. So he is the Christ, he is Jesus. I'll talk a little bit about the work of Christ. The person of Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, first, he is God. He is God. In Romans 9:5, it says, "Whose are the fathers, and out of whom, as regards what is according to flesh, is the Christ, who is over all, God blessed forever." So Christ is God. Christ is also the Son of God. And then Christ is a man. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, "Behold, Christ the man." So I'd like you to highlight or circle these point three under Roman numeral C. So we're in Roman numeral 2. C, under man, Christ is not only God, he is also man. He is the complete God, and he became a genuine and perfect man. He is the complete God, and he is the perfect man. This is a very important sentence. And this is the basis of our Christian faith. You know, there are some Christian groups, if they don't believe that Christ is the complete God. Now, we had an illustration, but I hope that you don't get the impression that Christ is just a slice of God. There's some group, I'll mention its name, Jehovah Witness, that believe that Jehovah is the God, but Christ, Jesus Christ, is a lesser God, or God that Jehovah created. No, Christ is the complete God. The entire Father, Son, and Spirit became a man, and that is Jesus Christ. So Christ is the complete God, and he is the perfect man. He did not just appear to be a man. He is a real, genuine man. He gets tired, right? He needs to sleep. He needs to eat. He is the complete God, and he is the perfect man. So anyone who refers to himself as Christians, but if they don't believe that he is the complete God and a perfect man, he's not really a Christian. He's a Christian in name. But in order for us to be saved, we have to believe that he is God and he is man. He is also the creator. Hebrews 1, 9 and 10 tells us, "You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you." This verse refers to Christ, right? "Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of exalting joy above your partners." And verse 10 says, "And you, in the beginning, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hand." So these two verses prove or show us that Christ, who is the anointed one, he is the creator. He's the one who created the foundation of the earth and the heavens and everything in it. So Christ is also the creator. Not only so, he is the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from among the dead, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. So he's the creator. He's also a creature because of the fact that he is the man. So as God, he is the creator. As man, he is a creature. He's the firstborn of all creation. Again, we cannot fathom how he can be unlimited and yet limited. Without time and yet limited by time. We can't comprehend, but we know that he is triune. Amen. And that out of his love, he wants to get into us. So the person of Christ is very important. So we have an entire summer school on the person and work of Christ. I can just give you a brief preview. And concerning the work of Christ, under D, he created the heavens and the earth. A second great work is that he became flesh. John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word became flesh, and tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and reality."
Amen.
So the second great work that he did is the work of becoming a man. God became a man. The third great thing that he did is that he went to the cross to be crucified for us to accomplish redemption. And then the fourth great work he did is he resurrected.
Amen.
And in his resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. He was begotten, the firstborn son of God, and he regenerated all the believers. And that was a wonderful work that he accomplished. He resurrected. And he rose from the dead. He ascended to the heavens. He was made Lord and Christ. He was inaugurated officially as the Lord and Christ to carry out God's salvation. So this is the fifth great thing that he did in his work. And upon his ascension into heaven, Christ proceeded to accomplish his heavenly ministry. Today, Christ is still working. He accomplished his work in his earthly ministry primarily by dying on the cross for us to accomplish redemption. But today he is still working to carry out his heavenly ministry. He is a high priest, able to sympathize with all our weaknesses.
Amen.
He's also the advocate, appearing before God. You know, do you still sin? How many of you sin this week? How many of you feel weak this week? Well, you have a high priest. You have an advocate. That's what the Lord is doing today. He is sympathizing with you. He's strengthening you. He's appearing before you. If you sin, all you can confess your sins. And he's there by your side to bring you back to God. And another part of his work is he is working in us in his heavenly ministry, and one day he will come back.
Amen.
For his bride.
Amen.
For his body. So coming back is another major part of his work. And then after Christ clear up the earth at his coming, he will set up the millennial kingdom and will reign with his overcoming believers in it for 1,000 years.
Amen.
So today we're here laboring, we're here living and cooperating with Christ, because we want to be his overcomers so that we can reign with him for 1,000 years in the millennial kingdom. And at the end of the millennial kingdom, Christ will be the center of eternity in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven and new earth for eternity. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for who Christ is and what he is doing. And this is all out of his love for us. Okay, now I come to the Roman numeral 3 concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is another major topic or key topic of the entire scripture. And I like you to highlight or speak Roman numeral C together. Let's declare Roman numerals or letter C together. The Holy Spirit, He is the all-inclusive and consummated spirit as the ultimate expression of the triune God. Okay, just pause there for a minute. Spirit of Jehovah, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of life, the life-giving Spirit, and the Spirit, and the seven spirits. It's quite a mouthful, right? But I really treasure this sentence. The Spirit is the all-inclusive and consummated Spirit. He is the all-inclusive and consummated Spirit as the ultimate expression of the triune God. Now, all-inclusive means includes everything. Everything that the triune God is and has accomplished all that Christ has accomplished is now included in the Spirit. Amen. And consummated means that's the final form. So I enjoy a few illustrations. One is, one illustration that we hear is sometimes you have these water out of a hot spring, right? Water that's from a fountain flowing through different minerals underground. Eventually it came out as a hot spring with a lot of mineral in it. And people like to dip themselves in it because it's good for you. It got mineral for your skin, relaxes you. So when you're in that water that passed through all the minerals, it includes everything, it includes all the minerals, and eventually, when you touch that water, you get all the benefit of that water. I was thinking of another illustration that's chicken broth. You know, many times when you get a cold, right? Your mom made chicken broth for you, right? You put the chicken in there, you put the water in there, celery, ginger, garlic, put a lot of elements in that broth. And it went through a process. And eventually, what's offered to you on a bowl, chicken broth, is the all-inclusive, consummated spirit, essence of the process and consummated chicken broth, right? So our triune God has a desire to get into us, Amen. To fill us with all his riches. Amen. But today, how is that available to you? Or how can that reach you? Well, it comes to you as the Spirit. The Spirit is the all-inclusive and consummation of the ultimate expression of the triune God. So if you need something to kill your temper, you need the cross of Christ. You know what the Lord accomplished on the cross, not only outwardly wash away from our sins, but he terminated all the negative things in the universe. He dealt with Satan. He dealt with death. He dealt with your sin, your sinful nature. He carried away your sins, your sinful deeds. And he also terminated your old man and all the ordinances that divide us. He released the divine life. But how can that be real to you? Well, today he comes to you as the all-inclusive, consummated spirit. So you need to exercise your spirit to apply the death of Christ. When you're about to yell back to your mom, or in my case, yell back to my kids, or you have some negative feeling within you toward someone else, you need the cross of Christ to terminate that negative feeling. Where is that? That is in the Spirit. I enjoyed one brother share yesterday. He realized that he spent so much time in his soul life. But the way is not just to kill my own soul life. I can't do that. I need to touch the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. Amen. When you touch the Spirit, you touch the reality of the triune God. Right. So all that God is can be real and can apply to you. So eventually, there's many titles to the Spirit. And then let me read that again. You know, as you read through the Bible, you find the Spirit of God. That's in Genesis chapter 1. The Spirit of Jehovah, as in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. You also find the Holy Spirit in the conception of the Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit is involved. The Spirit of Jesus, another title. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of life, the life-giving Spirit, and the Spirit, and the seven spirits. You know, all this points to us that the triune God wants to reach us. So he went through the process of becoming a man and the last Adam becoming the life-giving spirit in order to get into us. So eventually, in Revelation 22:17, he is just called the Spirit. And the Spirit and the bride say, come.
Amen.
Let him who hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. So we can come. And eventually the triune God is just called the Spirit. And we, the children of God, the believers, when we are built up, we're called the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Amen. Amen. And the work of the Spirit today is to testify concerning the Lord, convicting the world. He is doing many things in you to bring you further in the plan of the triune God. Okay, let me just spend a few minutes on the last point concerning the cross of Christ. The cross is a symbol of Christianity, as many people know, right? They like to have the cross in their church buildings, and they like to sometimes wear a cross. But the cross here that we want to emphasize is not only what the Lord Jesus did accomplish on the cross. No, the Lord died on the cross for us. So the cross is a symbol of what of the Lord's redemption, where he shed his blood to cleanse us from our sins. But in the New Testament, many times the cross is applied in a subjective way. And I like to read two verses, one portion of verse. This is Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. He says, always bearing about in the body the putting to death of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who are alive are always being delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death operates in us, but life in you. So our experience of the cross of Christ often is the death of Christ operates in you. But as that death operates in you, life is dispensed into others. For example, right? In just about 3 minutes, we'll open up for you to share something. Maybe the Lord has spoken something within you, or you enjoy one word or one verse that the brothers share. Or you say, but I don't want to stay in front of 200 people to speak. I don't want to share. I don't want to share. Well, what do you need at that time is the death of Christ operating in you. Right? And when you share something, if you obey and says, okay, amen, I don't stand with my own man, I stand with you, Lord. So you come up and share something. As death is operating in you, life is being dispensed into others. Maybe something you share could touch others. And I was touched with an illustration concerning the pearl gates in Revelation. And I want to read this verse. In Revelation 21:21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was respectively of one pearl. Know the New Jerusalem as a city has very high wall. And in order to enter into the city, enter into God's purpose, you have these entrance, gates of pearl. Now, this doesn't make sense naturally or physically, right? Pearl can never be gates. But the Bible mentioned the gates of pearl for a very specific purpose. And there are three gates on four sides of this city. The city is a square or a cube. And on four sides, there are three gates of pearl, so altogether 12 gates. So what are these pearl gates? Well, where does pearl come from? Pearl come from oyster, right? When the sand got into the oyster and hurt the oyster start to secrete a lot of life juice around that sand, eventually making that sand a beautiful pearl. Here is a picture of how the Lord Jesus, he died on the cross for us. We wounded him. He was pierced because of our sins. But instead of condemning us, he flowed out his life in the form of, you know, in that picture of water. And he regenerated us. So we who have received the Lord Jesus, we are regenerated with his life. We become this pearl. But in order for you to be this pearl, you have to remain in the death of Christ so that you can become an entrance for others to come in. So if you don't want to be the entrance, then other people, it's hard for them to come in. You know, I am going back to work on Thursday, and I usually don't like to talk to my colleagues about what I do. So these Hindu colleagues, I've been praying for them. And also this colleague who is a Jew. I've been praying for them. But it's just hard for me to talk to them. Or let me just say it this way. In my natural man, I don't want to talk to them. But the Lord just touched me. I need to go back and tell them about the Bible. About how triune God of love wants to get into them.
Amen.
So if I put aside my natural man, if I just open my mouth a little bit, I'm praying that the Lord will give me some opportunity. So if I speak and stand against my natural inclination of not wanting to talk, then I can become this little pearl. Maybe something of Christ, something of the Bible will be dispensed into them as life. So they can come into this holy city, the New Jerusalem, and be saved. And become part of God's purpose. So I hope you will pray for me. So I will pray for all of you. to really proclaim the Jubilee.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people who want to know the Bible, but they don't know. They want to know God, and they need God. But they need you to be this pearl who will experience the Lord, the death of Christ, and bring them into God's purpose. Amen. So I'll stop here. Amen. So we still have about 10 minutes for you to share something. So you can come up again, brothers here and sisters here, for your sharing.